So how's everybody doing this morning? Good. So we've been in this series we started last week called Hot Seat. And we have been dealing with some tough topics. Last week we talked about identity, and it was a very tough topic, right? Yeah, but one that we needed to explore, one that we needed to address and talk about. If we're not talking about it in the church, the world's going to talk about it. And so we're going to be very honest. And so today, I'm going to talk about another hot seat topic, one that is addressed in our world a lot, one that's talked about a lot. And I want to start off. Everybody have hands? Okay. All right, put them together. All right. Do like this. Okay. All right, now put them, bring them together. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. Here's all the people. Let's do that again. Y'all did really good with that. I appreciate that. I wasn't sure if y'all would get it, but y'all did. Good job. All right. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. And here's all the people. This morning, we're going to be talking about something that even this little experiment. Look down. I'm looking at all my people, and all my people are white. Mine are all pretty white. They're kind of a little bit reddish because I've been playing guitar, right? Today we're going to talk about race. We're going to talk about racism. We're going to be honest about it because the world is dealing with all this type stuff. But as I go through this little object lesson, you know, it was great. It was cute, you know, as a kid to be talking about, you know, the church and the steeple and open the door and here's all the people. But the reality is this isn't the church. The building, for one, is not the church. The steeple isn't the church. And just the people that just represent my hands isn't the church. The church is very diverse. The kingdom of God is very diverse. And we have been dealing over the past several years with all kinds of identity issues. We've been dealing with a lot of racism. And the thing is, it's nothing new. But I think that we have to look very deep, especially as Christians, especially as a church, to really address what's going on in each and every one of our hearts. And so today we're going to talk about stereotypes. Stereotypes, and we're going to unpack that and what that looks like today. You know, as we think about the church, many of us, you know, think about, you know, a building. Today I hope that we don't think about a building, but we think about a people. A people that is called out by God. If we turn to, you know, Jesus and what he is, you know, really sent us to do, it says that in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-19, it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus, he says. And then he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Basically, that is all for all. All authority, all power, all was given to Jesus, and he commissioned his disciples, and through them, he commissioned us to go and reach all nations. You know what that encompasses? Everybody. Everybody. All the nations. Israel. All the nations. All the divided nations. All over the world. Everyone. That is the commission. Not just our little, you know, Eden community, but all over the world, we are called to make disciples. Yet on Sunday morning, just like Martin Luther King said many years ago, he said this, and it still applies today, that on a Sunday morning, it's the most segregated time in America. It is still very much true, still very much real. Where if you look at some of the stats, 8 out of 10 congregations are made up of predominantly one racial group. And most of the worshipers at that church is fine with it that way. 8 out of 10 is completely fine with it that way. 2/3 of American churchgoers, which is about 67%, say that the church has done enough to address this racial divide. And then if you go and you look at it this way too, that less than half think that their church should become more diverse. Many of us are fine with it. Many of us are completely okay. Many of us are okay with that. And if you think about the history of our church here, of the Westland Church, who is known for standing in the gap over slavery hundreds of years ago, who were abolitionists, who were a key part of the Underground Railroad, sadly, in the 60s, we were silent. And I refuse to be silent ever again. May we not be okay with it. But if we look at the kingdom, if we look at the church, it is a very diverse church. See, the church was never intended to just be a building. The church was intended not to be defined by categories, titles, races, colors, classes. We are a people called by God. No matter what you look like, no matter what, you know, part of the community you come from, it doesn't matter. You are called by God. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight. But those little children grow older. And it seems to me that in America especially, as those little children grow older, we change. We change. Because racism is taught. It is a learned behavior. You are not born a racist. You're not. I can show you picture after picture of my children, how they love one another. It doesn't matter the color of the skin of their friend. But the thing is, if I teach them stereotypes, if I teach them racist thoughts, they will learn to become a racist, like many of us sometimes have been taught. And today, may we be honest with each other and address the stereotypes that we have carried on into our future. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about our emotional health. We've talked about this. I said it last week. We talked about how Jesus is in our hearts, but Grandpa is in our bones. Jesus is in our hearts, but Grandpa is in our bones. Let me unpack that for a moment. What that is saying is that Jesus, yes, lives very deep in your heart, but you also bring a history with you that you are taught from Grandpa and Grandma and you know, uncles and aunts and those, and they teach you different things, and you bring that into your relationship with Jesus. Those stereotypes we bring in to our relationships with Jesus. But the thing is that Jesus doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants to transform us from the inside out. And so today, may we look at what Jesus intended. As a very diverse church is what Jesus intended. It is a diverse kingdom is what Jesus intended. God's kingdom is multi-ethnic. All different kinds of color, red, yellow, black, and white. They are all precious in His sight, and therefore it should be the case for us. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, it says this, "After this I looked," John said, "and then behold, a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Church, that's all types of people. All nations is encompassing that kingdom. or we stand before the throne of God and we sing out praises and declare His salvation, declare who He is. It's made up of all different tribes, all different nations, all different kinds of people and languages coming together. Church, the big problem that is going on in America, the problem that's deep down inside of every one of us, if we really were to look, is that it was not the issue is Sunday. The issue isn't really that we are segregated on Sunday. The issue is that we have a segregated lifestyle. That we truly don't have friends that don't look like us. That we don't have friends that come from different parts of the community. And a good way to tell if that is you is to turn to your friends that look like, you know, that you spend a lot of time with. Do they look like you? Do they look different than you? For those who have social media, turn to your social media page and look at your friends list. If you don't have people that doesn't look like you, the issue isn't on Sunday morning. The issue is on Monday through Saturday, Monday through Sunday, that you don't truly have friends. And the sad thing is, I think that many church people are going to be very disappointed in heaven if that's the reality. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to see all kinds of people. And it's not going to matter where they come from, what they look like. All that's going to matter is that we are in fellowship with the great I Am. And if you can't get used to it now, how do you expect to get used to it later? We must look very deep inside. If you look around our community, it's a very diverse community. Eden isn't a very, you know, it's very diverse. And I think that the church in Eden should represent that. And I'm not just saying just this one particular church, but I'm talking about all the church of Eden should be diverse. And so it takes a diverse church to reach a diverse city. And so that is what I'm declaring today, is that we embrace that. And we run with that. And we reach the city for Jesus Christ. All together. All together. See, we are called to shine out. To be like a city on a hill. Jesus didn't share that just a church on a hill. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city is very diverse. Church, when we reach the city, we're reaching a multi-ethnic expression of the kingdom of God, which will shine out on a hill that other cities will see, the world will see. And may they see America that rises up, that's not divided by the color of our skin, but united by the blood that's deep down inside of us, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that unites every one of us. We are called to the city to reach it. And I said yesterday or last week that I will do everything short of sinning to reach people for Jesus Christ. And may we rise up and do that as well. So stereotypes. The greatest opponent to unity in the church is stereotypes. Things that we have not addressed very well as a church, I think, in the history, especially of America. Stereotypes. A stereotype is a mistaken idea or belief that many people have about a thing or a group that is based upon how they look on the outside, which may be untrue or only partly true. See, stereotyping people is a type of prejudice because what is on the outside is a small part of who a person truly is. And so if we have stereotypes or certain bias that we do not resolve and we do not address, then it can lead to deep racism. And the reality is, and I'm going to be very blunt about this, you can't be racist and be a Christian. It's not possible. You can't be a racist and be a Christian. And so we must address racism. our deep-rooted stereotypes. And see, the thing is about these stereotypes is they come, they pass on. They can be rooted in generational things that's passed on from generation to generation to generation. And before long, it's just a learned behavior that is culturally accepted. And so may we address our past so that we can look to the future. Amen? And so stereotypes, what do they do? Stereotypes, first point is, five ways stereotypes impact us is, first, stereotypes divide. They divide us. And they have been dividing us for generations and generations. Winston Churchill once said this, "When there is no enemy within, the enemies outside cannot hurt you." The reality is that deep in the church, we have allowed the enemy in with our stereotypes that lead to racism. And the enemy attacks. And the enemy fuels the fire. And we have to be honest with ourselves and say, no longer. God, I give you my all, everything. Different things that I have held on to, different stereotypes that I've held on to, I give that to you. God, may those chains be broken in Jesus' name. And I believe that they can. Galatians chapter 3, 28 says this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Every single one of us are one in Christ Jesus. If we have made a declaration of our faith, if we believe and confess with our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we are one with one another. And Jesus unites us as one. As the Three Musketeers once said, "All for one and one for all. United we stand, divided we fall." It is so true. May we be united together as one. Second, stereotypes produce prejudice. How many times have we heard someone say, and maybe we have said it too, that "I don't see color," or "Oh, I'm colorblind," or "There's not a racist bone in my body." Many times, that's unaddressed stereotypes. See, there is blatant racism, there is blatant prejudice that is very real. So if you look on one side of the spectrum, there is blatant, you know, white supremacy that lives on, and you know, we see the Ku Klux Klan, that was white supremacy, it was very blatant. But then if you go to the other side of the spectrum, you have people that says, "Well, I'm colorblind. I don't see color." And I think that's a problem as well. Because I see color. I see different shades in this community right here. But the thing is, I see it and I see it as beautiful. Because God the Father created us, all of us, uniquely designed and perfectly made. And God sees color, and so therefore we should see color as well. And see the beauty and diversity. And address those racism that lives deep in us. Those stereotypes that live deep in us. John 4, 17 through 21, it says, "In this world we are to be like Christ. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother and sister is a liar." And so if you do not love your brother and sister in Uganda, you have not love. If you do not love the brother and sister that lives across the railroad tracks, on the other side of the railroad tracks, or in the rough part of the community, you have not love. Love, perfect love, casts out all fear. love, perfect love, cast out all stereotypes, all prejudice, all of that, because you are starting to see through the eyes of Jesus and not see through your own worldly eyes. And may we see through his eyes and not our own. See, if you look at Revelation 7 once again, you will see heaven, the kingdom, isn't divided. You don't go and you go to heaven and you lose your identity. You don't go and you lose your ethnicity. We are all united around him. Red, yellow, black, and white, all precious in his sight, and we are united around the throne of Jesus Christ. So stereotypes divide, stereotypes produce prejudice. And then third, stereotypes feed ignorance. They feed ignorance. And I think if you go and you look back at our past, the past history, the generations that have gone before and that's passed on to us, a lot of times ignorance is passed on. We inherit different teachings that are taught to us that is ignorance and is based on ignorance. See, when I first came here, and I was, you know, teaching in the community, and different people come up to me and say certain things, and one thing that sticks out to this day is this: someone telling me that God is a racist. Do what? Yeah. God is a racist, is what they told me. And they begin to unveil their certain thoughts and teachings on things that God is a racist. And I pointed them to the scriptures. I pointed them to Revelation 7. I pointed them to the teaching of Jesus, who he didn't go around Samaria. He went through Samaria because he didn't see people as divided, but he saw through the eyes of his father, and he saw beauty in the Samaritan woman. He saw beauty in people that didn't look just like him. The sad thing is, in America, I don't know that we would actually love Jesus if he walked in our church today because of the color of his skin. Jesus wasn't white, people. He wasn't. But yet many times we look in our teaching and in our Sunday school stuff, you know, the things that we saw, the pictures that we saw in the church in the past, it was like, you know, white Jesus with beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes, straight hair. I'm like, that is not Jesus. He is from the Middle East. He was from the Holy Land. They were darker skinned. And we have to be honest with that. That can come deep into us, and it's ignorance. Ignorance. See, racism is a generational thing. See, race wasn't actually a thing until the 16th century. A black person wasn't identified as black until the 16th century. A white person wasn't identified as white until the 16th century. That is pretty much very New Age teaching. But yet we tend to focus on certain races, and we tend to divide each other because of ignorance. God didn't create race. You won't find race in the Bible. There won't be an actual word race because Jesus, you know, God didn't divide people by categories. We do. But yet the Bible has been used and manipulated in all different kinds of ways. You've heard me talk about Hitler and how he used the Bible to take advantage of people. Another thing that's in our past, in our history as America and as Americans, is that American slavery was used with a Bible in one hand. And when they take and they, you know, take certain proportions of Scripture to justify their end. But that is not how we're supposed to do it. You will not see racism in the Bible. You will not see the use of race in the Bible. That came out in the 16th century. But yet I think that many of us are stuck in that world. We're stuck following that path, that teaching. May we go to the scripture and let that be our guide. See, in slavery, there was certain teachings that because of your own race, you know, where you were born into at a certain race, if you were black, you were on the bottom, and if you're white, you're on the top. May that be gone in Jesus' name. May that slave mentality be gone in Jesus' name. May that slave master mentality be gone in Jesus' name. Because God does not justify American slavery. God doesn't justify the slavery that we still see today in human trafficking and all different kinds of labor slavery and stuff that's going on around our world. But throughout this, there was a teaching that came up, and it was one that was taught, and I've heard it taught, and I think it's just so ignorant. And it's what is called the curse of Ham. The curse of Ham is basically, Ham was the son of Noah who saw Noah laying naked. And this teaching started that Ham was a black man and that Noah cursed him. And because of Noah's curse, that black people were cursed. It is foolish, it is wrong, it is not true. It was justified because someone wanted to justify slavery and started teaching it throughout the generation all the way to now. And so if you hear somebody say, oh, it's the curse of Ham. For one, God didn't curse Ham. Noah cursed Ham. And unless God speaks something, it doesn't matter what Noah said. If God didn't say it. And so, racism can be tied to stereotypes that can then lead to our own ignorance. A teaching that God at the Tower of Babel, that's where he created race. No, he didn't create race there. Race isn't in the Bible. The only race that there was ever was God created Adam and God created Eve, and he said, this is the human race. If we want to talk about race in the Bible, then it's the human race. We were all created from Adam and Eve that came from Noah and his family. That then at the Tower of Babel, because the people were trying to make idols and worship them and to, you know, get to God and made this huge tower, God comes and he confuses the languages. Not that he divided the race. No, that he confused the languages. That's scripture. That's looking at the truth and not just saying, well, this is what happened and this is what happened, and just following false teaching that has been instilled throughout the generations. Race came about in the 16th century. And so a good teaching on this, and we'll just pause and watch a very short video. Ken Ham. Many of you might have heard of Ken Ham. He is a scientist that is a theologian in apologetics. He is the one that, you know, built the Ark Encounter up in Kentucky and also the Creation Museum. Great teaching. But I love what he said in his book on race, that we are all one race. And so they put a video together about that, and I think it's just really good teaching, and maybe it will help you to understand. And so let's watch this real quick.
I hear this one a lot. How can there be so many races in the world if we are all descendants of Adam and Eve? Well, check this out. First off, let's talk about the word race. Sometimes when people use the word, they mean supposed races of people who have evolved at different times, rates, and in different locations. That's not true. Of course, the word race is also a term we use to distinguish between groups with different physical traits, namely skin color. But are there really different races? Take a gander at Acts 17:26, where it is written that God, from one man, made every nation of men. It's clear then that the Bible teaches that there is one race, the human race. The Bible is also clear that all people on the earth are descendants of Adam and Eve who were created by God. Check Genesis 1:26 through 28. Easy enough. God created two people in his image, male and female, and told them to increase in number. So Adam and Eve are mom and dad of the human race. Then their children had children, and those children had children, and so on and so forth for many generations until, according to Genesis 6:9, the world's population was reduced to eight people who were protected inside an ark during a global flood. And those eight people later walked off the ark, and according to Genesis 9:19, from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Oh, wait a second. What do I mean scattered? Well, jump over to Genesis 11 and let's talk about an event known as the Tower of Babel. Basically, because of the sinful actions of the descendants of Noah, the Lord confused their language and scattered them from there over all the earth. That's pretty clear and concise. Okay, so we've got lots of people who are descendants of the eight folks who came off the ark, and now they have been scattered all over the earth. That explains that we are still one race and that different groups of people ended up in different locations. But how do we get a bunch of different colored people if we are all one race? Well, follow along. This, of course, is a simplified explanation, but the basic principles are true. We all have a pigment in our bodies called melanin, which, depending on different variables, produces different shades of the one main skin color we all possess. Several genes control the amount of melanin produced and thus the variability in the skin shade. In fact, it's easy for one couple to produce a wide range of skin shade variability in just one generation, as we'll see in just a moment. Time for a quick genetics lesson. DNA is the molecule of heredity that is passed from parents to children. A child inherits 23 chromosomes from each parent. Each chromosome pair contains hundreds of genes, which regulate the physical development of the child. However, to illustrate basic genetic principles pertaining to the topic, we'll just talk about two genes, the genes that control the production of melanin. So, let capital A and capital B symbolize versions of the gene that code for large amounts of melanin, while little a and little b code for small amounts. Got it? Easy. Check this out. Take a look at the upper left. Let's say dad contributes capital A, capital B genes, and mom contributes capital A, capital B genes as well. Together, they will produce a child with capital A, capital B, and capital B. This is a kid with a lot of melanin, and thus he will have very dark skin. Easy to see. Here's the bigger point, though. Let's say dad contributes capital A, capital B, and mom contributes little a and little b. Well, the child's skin will be middle brown shade, the combination of capital A, little a, and capital B, little b, which, by the way, represents a majority of the world's population. Not only that, but if each parent is capital A, capital B, little b, the combinations that could be produced in their children could result in a very wide range of skin shades in just one generation. So, since Adam and Eve were the first people ever, it makes sense to conclude that God placed in them a combination of genes that could produce all different shades of skin we see. Those same combinations would be present in Noah and the seven other people who boarded the ark. And because God dispersed people at the Tower of Babel, he dispersed the population, thereby isolating gene pools in the different people groups. Over time, different cultures formed in different locations with certain features like skin shade becoming predominant. And here we are today. And since we all go back to Noah and his family, it makes sense that we are all different shades of brown. One race, multiple people groups, just like the Bible teaches. Simplified for sure, but enough said.
So, every one of us have melanin in us. Science depicts that we all have this melanin in us, which produce different shades of brown. And every single one of us are created, according to Acts 17:26, that God had made us from one blood, every nation of man, to dwell on all the face of the earth. So we are all created from one blood with melanin in us. And so we look different because God created diversity from the very beginning. Not because we live closer to the equator. You've heard that thought, which is bogus, right? Or different things, you know, like I've just unpacked. We are made from one blood and we are part of one race, and that is the human race. And so what's important is, does that person know Jesus Christ? Not the color of their skin. It's, do they know Jesus Christ who created them beautifully and diversely made? That's what matters the most. But yet many of us follow teaching that goes back to the 1600s. I don't want to follow teaching that just goes back to the 1600s. I want to follow teaching that goes back to the creation of the world. And God created us all, male and female. He created us, and he's one blood and one race, and that's called the human race. So stereotypes also produce a critical heart. And so many of you are hearing what is said, and y'all are coming from a critical heart. And there's not anything that one can say other than the Holy Spirit that will convict your heart, because your heart is calloused and hard. But Psalm 51, verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And that is my prayer for anybody that has a calloused heart, a hard heart. May we not be critical, but may we be open to what the Spirit wants to do in our life. And may we address the stereotypes that we hold on to very tightly. And then 5, stereotypes kill opportunity for relationships. This community is a diverse people. We are all, from different places. This world is a diverse place made up of all kinds of people. But we can miss opportunities because of the stereotypes that we inherit, the stereotypes that we follow, and the stereotypes that are taught to us. May we not allow that to kill opportunities for relationships. John 13, verse 35 says, "By this everyone will know that we are your disciples, if we love one another." 1 John 3:16 says this, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us." It doesn't stop there, though. It says this, "And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." That also entails people that are our brothers and sisters that might not look like us. Amen? And so as we close today, may God bring unity around us. May God address the division that lives in our churches. May God look at us and see the beauty of diversity. And may He direct our paths to point us to the truth, not stereotypes, but point us to the truth, that we are all with one blood. We are all from one race. And may we be united around Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. May we address the stereotypes. May we not be held to the bondage that comes with that thought. May we not be held to a bondage of slavery or slave master mentality. May we not be bound and have chains that we are slave to other people. Jesus Christ broke down all chains. He freed every single person. Racism doesn't have to exist in America. By the power of Jesus Christ, it can be rebuked. This church can be a tool that stands in the gap and says, no more slavery exists in our community. Amen. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one blood and one race, and that is the human race. And may we point everybody to Jesus Christ. Y'all stand with us today. Let's sing this out. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing it out.